Hello and welcome to Car Talk from National Public Radio with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers, broadcasting this week from the HR department here at Car Talk Plaza.
Well, you know, it's not always easy to put the right person in the right job.
Oh, I mean, no, we got lucky with Berman.
We
had a producer job that called for, well, doing nothing.
Yeah.
And Dougie just happened to have a lifetime of experience.
Yeah, but that was luck. A listener named Kate Friedman sent us a process by which companies can always put the right person in the right job. And here's how it works.
I can't wait.
You take all of the prospective employees and you put them in a room with nothing but a table and two chairs.
Uh-huh.
Then you leave them alone for 2 hours without any instructions. Then you go back and see what they're doing.
Mm.
The people who have taken the table apart, they go to engineering. The ones who are jittery and crazed from 2 hours without an internet connection, send them to information systems.
Of course.
The ones who ask you what you paid for the table and chairs, they go to purchasing.
Right.
The ones who are sleeping, senior management. If there's anyone who doesn't even look up when you enter the room, assign them to security. And finally, the ones who try to tell you what a great group of people you've got here, send them to marketing.
Right, they can sell anything to anybody. Well, look, if you have a question about your marketing department or your car, call us at 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, my name is Kelsey, and I'm calling from Yucaipa, California.
Kelsey?
From where in California?
Yucaipa. It's about 45 minutes east of L.A.
Okay, got you. Yucaipa, California. We're all over it, Kelsey.
Okay.
What's going on?
I have a 2003 Honda Element, about 98,000 miles on it, and I think it has arthritis.
Oh, poor baby.
Why? What's it doing?
Okay, so every time I turn the wheel and press the gas, it makes this really creaky knee noise in the joints. It's like each time I turn it left or right, and that's if I use the gas only. If I'm hitting the brake, like if I'm coming to a stoplight,
yeah,
and turning, it doesn't make the noise.
Oh, and how long has this been going on, Kelsey?
About a year.
A year?
So you just got around the corner.
So you've been avoiding turns for a year. So do you cringe when you make a turn? Like, oh, it's going to make that noise. I know it is.
It's not that intense. Once the car warms up, it gets a little bit better.
Well, I'm just kind of curious. So what do you think it is? And clearly you think that there's nothing to worry about here. Or not much to worry about because it took you
my
a year.
My wallet wants to think there's nothing to worry about.
Right. So that's I've often found that to be the case, that when people don't have the money to fix something,
Everything's okay.
They don't want to know what it is.
Yeah.
And you clearly don't. So I'm not so sure. Well, you do want to know what it is because I think it may be fixable for cheap.
Ooh.
Yeah. And
I like that.
Well, and the fix is to change the differential fluid.
Oh, okay.
This is an all-wheel drive vehicle,
mm-hmm.
and it has actually three differentials, and two of them are in the rear housing.
Mm.
By having three differentials, you allow the front wheels to turn at a different combined speed than the two rear wheels, which allows you to make tight turns. And
okay.
What's happening is the lubricant has broken down, and it's not doing its job, and that thing is grabbing when it's not supposed to be. And and when it does that, it's making that awful pain noise. It's crying out to you, Kelsey. Fix me.
I'm putting him through torture, aren't I?
Yeah, so what you need to do is
sort of
go and have the fluid changed.
Okay.
That's easy, isn't it?
Yeah, about how much would that run me?
Well, it's either going to cost you about $50.
That was my number exactly.
Oh,
$50.
Or $750.
No, it's going to be $50 because we both came up with the same number.
Yeah, assuming you haven't damaged anything, and I doubt you have. I think when the fluid breaks down, this is what happens. And if it's only been going on for a year, you're probably good.
Okay.
But if the fluid change doesn't fix it, you're done for.
What if that's not
you don't want to know. Fluid. Don't even call back.
Okay, all right.
You won't want to talk to us.
I won't bring it up again.
No, no. See you later.
Okay, thank you.
Take care, Kelsey. Bye-bye. Well, it's funny that you would think that if you didn't have a lot of money, you'd want to be like, what's the word, proactive. I mean,
you would think.
You would think that you at least want to know.
Yeah.
So you could then you could make an informed decision.
Yeah. Instead.
Yeah.
You just hope for the best.
Well, you hope it goes away.
What would you do?
Oh, I know what I'd do. Trade it in. 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Eric from Fort Myers, Florida.
Hey, Eric, what's going on?
Well, I drive a 1996 Geo Metro, so it is a cheap car, so I hope this isn't an expensive fix, because I don't want to know about it either.
No, of course not. How many miles do you have on this thing?
Just under 100,000.
Really? Not bad for 13 years of driving.
No, not at all. It still gets me 40 miles a gallon. It's great.
Cool.
But my problem is trying to stop the car.
Are you a school teacher?
No, I'm not, no.
Oh. Oh. Just a cheapskate. Just a regular cheapskate.
I apologize for that. So go ahead. What's your problem?
I noticed that when I'm coming to a stoplight, I press my brakes and everything's fine. But if I lift off the pedal and press down again, it gets hard to press and therefore hard to slow down the car. If I do it again, then it's even harder yet to press down the pedal. And at that point, I panic and almost hit the guy in front of me.
Uh-huh.
Does this do this regardless of how long you've been driving it? So even after a 10-minute drive, it's as likely to do it as after 2 hours of driving?
Yes.
So every application of the pedal gets you less and less power braking.
Yes.
Is that what you would summarize it as?
Yes.
You know why? Because your power brakes aren't working. and there's a device called the booster.
You had power brakes.
Yeah, you kind of have. And what are you doing lifting your foot off the brake when you're supposed to be slowing down? The whole idea is you keep your foot on the brake till you stop. Don't go fooling around with it.
It's just you slow down a little bit, or if the guy's braking in front of you, but you still got to move a little bit.
You're right. No, I can see that happening.
No, of course. So you need to replace the thing called the power brake booster.
Okay.
And it's possible that it isn't even the booster that's bad. It may be that the hose that is supposed to be creating the vacuum in the booster has collapsed.
Okay.
In fact, I'm going for that even more.
Yeah, the more you
you know what? Thought is an incredible process. When you think about stuff enough, sometimes you come up with the answer.
Yeah.
So here's what's going on. I think
I'm with you.
You are?
Yeah.
Okay. Forget that.
That ought to change everything.
If Tommy's agreeing with me, Eric, I want to strike that statement. So here's what happens. There's a hose that connects the intake manifold to the booster, and the natural vacuum created by the intake strokes of all the pistons, of all the cylinders, is what creates the vacuum that allows the booster to give you power brakes. But in order for the power brakes to work, you have to have a certain amount of vacuum created. If you were to narrow that hose and put too small a hose between the manifold and the booster, you might have enough vacuum for the first application of the pedal, but not enough for subsequent applications. Because you use it up.
Yeah.
Okay? And what's going to happen is every time you step on the pedal, because you can't restore the vacuum because the hose is now collapsed on itself.
It's going to get worse and worse.
It's going to get worse and worse. So I think the hose is the culprit.
Okay.
So there's a hose that runs. You can do this yourself. You are familiar with what goes on under the hood?
Yeah, a little bit.
Okay, so open the hood.
Okay,
and find the power brake booster. And there's one hose that goes from it to the manifold. You can remove that hose at both ends and see if it's plugged.
Okay.
If it isn't, it also connects at the booster end to a valve, like a check valve. That valve could be bad.
Okay, that makes sense.
Okay, and if that isn't it, then you got to go to the Cash for Clunkers program and see if
I get too good of mileage.
No, your car does not qualify.
That's right.
It's hard to believe that 13 years ago they made a car that doesn't even qualify for the Cash for Clunkers program.
Yeah.
Well, so either you need a hose or the valve or you need a new booster.
All right. Well, I appreciate it.
All right. See you, Eric.
Good luck.
Thanks, guys.
Take care. 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, guys. This is Robin from American Canyon.
Hi, Robin. From where?
American Canyon. I'm just south of the city of Napa in Napa Valley.
Okay. We're with you. You sound like you're very far away, but you are.
Yeah. It's about, 30 miles north of San Francisco.
Yeah.
Okay. No, we're with you now.
We're homed in on you now. What's going on, Robin?
Well, I need help with my husband and his car.
Uh-huh.
The problem is he has this gushing oil leak that's been going on for the last 90 days. And this is his midlife crisis car. It was a replacement for his 67 Firebird convertible, which was the love of his life. And he decided not to rebuild it.
So who's the love of his life now? Never mind.
A 2001 BMW 330 CIC, I think it is. It's a convertible BMW.
2001?
Yeah. And I had him look at every other kind of convertible, and he said, this is the safest, this is the one I want, even though they're expensive, expensive to maintain. And I said, but they're so ugly.
So it's gushing oil?
It's gushing oil, yeah. So the oil light is on now since he had the oil changed about 3 months ago. And he's just been pouring the expensive synthetic oil in it, and it's just pouring out onto the garage floor. It's like hemorrhaging. So every day I go out and I put the daily paper out there to soak it up. And so we now have, you know, like the New York Times from the last several months laying there soaking up the oil in the garage. And I'm wondering if this is doing damage to this expensive car, because he never wants to get anything fixed and repaired on it. You know, the cell phone has actually been locked in the glove box for 3 years, and you can't get the glove box open.
Does he have no intention of ever fixing the oil leak?
Well, he keeps saying he means to. But as long as I keep refilling it with oil, it's not going to do any damage.
Well, he's right. He's
well,
right
that's
about
true,
that.
But it's going to cost him a fortune.
Well, which would be cheaper, buying oil or getting it fixed?
Well, the synthetic oil is, you know, $10 a quart or whatever, $9 a quart. Well, wholesale, he can probably buy it for half of that. But it runs into money. Not to mention the fact that you're going broke buying newspapers.
And the dogs keep slipping on it every time
you
go out.
By the way,
garage.
Kitty litter works a lot better.
Oh, kitty. We don't have a cat. But
you don't have to have
kitty litter.
If you get the kitty litter, you'll have a cat. You may have a couple of them. But the kitty litter works great. So you can just go to your supermarket and buy yourself a 20-pound bag of kitty litter. And that'll absorb the oil much more efficiently than the newspaper will.
But how do I get him to take it in and get it fixed?
Well, you know, you should tell him that it's probably something simple like the oil drain plug gasket. There's a little gasket that goes on the drain plug, and if that gasket got left out, then in fact the thing would leak oil, drip, 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 and when it's parked overnight, it could lose, significant amount of oil, maybe enough to add up to a quart every week or so. So yeah. I imagine that's about the rate at which he's adding it, a quart a week?
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Yeah.
Well, that's pretty typical for a oil drain plug leak. And pretty soon you're going to have an oil spill in your garage that rivals the thing that the Exxon Valdez was involved in. You know, you're going to create a biohazard there, so he's got to fix it.
Maybe it'll reach the glove box and it'll lube it open.
It'll lube it open, exactly. It'll just come flying open someday and he'll get his cell phone out. But, so he's a kind of a guy that avoids things, huh?
Yeah. He just takes his time getting around to the honey-do list.
Oh, yeah? What does he do for a living?
He's a park ranger.
He's a park ranger.
I thought you were going to say he's a cardiologist.
Well, it might be in his spare time. It might be his hobby. Well, look.
See, tell him that one of these days he's going to forget to add the oil, and he's going to ruin the engine.
Well, worse than that, it's all well and good if when he parks a thing in the garage, it leaks oil in your garage, and you pick it up and you dispose of it properly. But what as a park ranger... He should be ashamed he's parking this thing and dripping oil every place. He's dripping oil onto virgin land where there's never been a piece of asphalt, where perhaps no human has ever walked. He's ruining the planet single-handedly, and he's got to shape up, and for the want of a 20-cent gasket.
I think that might work.
It might work. If it doesn't, have him call us. We'll talk to him.
Did you talk to him? He's here.
Do we have to? What's his name?
His name is Brad, and his best friend who's helped him on every car adventure since he was like 14 is here visiting from Idaho.
Oh, perfect.
All right, put him on.
Okay, you guys. It's your turn.
Yeah, he's laughing.
It's your turn. I want to talk to you.
Oh. Hello?
Brad, you are a walking, talking environmental disaster. You're leaving oil every place you go, man. You're going to have to turn in your ranger suit.
Well, that's my one side of the story, of course.
But we believe every word of it. And if there's one drop of oil on your garage floor, there's a drop someplace else and a drop someplace else. And it's probably the oil plug gasket that's leaking.
Oh, yeah, it is. And I figured that out. I just had that time to fix it. I mean, I love the car. It's a beautiful car. It's just...
Yeah.
It's ugly.
It's ugly. Well, aside from the fact that it's ugly, we don't care about that. We don't care about that. Yeah, okay. Well, these oil spills do add up, you know. So you're doing it, and my brother's doing it. You should see the mess in his driveway. And these two oil leaks are going to converge someplace in, like, St. Louis. So yours and his are going to meet someplace in the middle of the country, and I don't want to be there when it happens. It's going to be ugly. So this weekend's exactly the time to do this. You got the weekend
That's
off?
Good, yeah.
I know your fishing buddies are there, but they'll help you.
Yeah, and I got to say, I've been listening to your show for years, and I love it. It's always a lot of fun. You guys have a wonderful laugh, great sense of humor, and it's a great show. Really
Yeah. Fix the leak.
Forget about the show.
See you later, Brad.
All right.
He is a sweet talker.
Thank you, Robin. See you later.
All right.
Bye-bye.
See you later.
All right, look, we have to take a short break.
How short?
Real short, like just a minute.
Oh, too short for a nap.
Right, exactly.
I'll have to nap during the next few calls instead.
Well, I'll let you know if anyone notices. Anyway, what's coming up right after the break?
It's a little story of a mom versus a car salesman.
Oh, kind of like a David versus the white belt story.
Yeah.
Well, we'll be back with that and lots more of your car questions in just a minute.
So please stay tuned.
She's tired of the guys all driving too fast, in and out of her life. And the last one insisted that he loved her so, if he could just find a way to leave his wife. She knows that she needs to take a brand new road, maybe detour to some star. She heard the road belongs to everyone, so she went and bought a car. Katie's got a new car. It's big and tall and gray. Katie's got a new car. It's slick and shiny, and it's no mistake. Put some gas in the tank. Give a pat on the hood. Leather seats hold her like a no man could. Katie's got a new car and she's feeling kinda good.
And even though parrots shake their heads and refuse to mimic whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR, National Public Radio.
Hey, if you'd like to hear more car talk.
Yeah, like if you're a jackhammer operator and miss grating noises when you get home.
You can download hundreds of classic Car Talk shows.
And by classic, we mean
old. Previously aired.
Exactly.
<you know.
laughs> Just go to cartalk.com and click where it says, listen to the show. Hi, we're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers. And we're here to talk about cars, car repair, and a little story about buying a car.
Yeah. This came in from Janet Bulmer, who relates to us the following story. One day, my parents went to buy a new car. They went back and forth on the price until the salesman said, I'll have to run this past my manager. My mom noticed that he was just going to the back of the showroom and taking a pull off his coffee. So when he came back and told him, I got you the price, but I had to tell him you were my aunt. Mom didn't miss a beat. She said, okay, now I'll go back and tell him I'm your mother. True story. I told it in Mom's eulogy. Just wish I could channel her when I go buy a car.
Very good. Hey, by the way, the more astute among you may have noticed that the Puzzler is not here this week.
Hey, you're right. What happened to the Puzzler?
Like I said, the more astute among you may have noticed that the Puzzler is on summer vacation.
Oh, the Puzzler vacation!
Look, but every week that the Puzzler's away, we post one of our favorite used Puzzlers.
Pre-owned, please.
Oh, we post a pre-owned Puzzler with no warranty on our website, cartalk.com. So if you want a Puzzler, that's where to go.
Now, what if someone had a car problem that they wanted to discuss with us?
Well, then they'd call 888-CAR-TALK and ask to speak to anybody but my brother. That's 888-CAR-TALK or 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, my name is Randa. I'm calling from Lake Halley, Wisconsin.
Randa with
a... R-A-N-D-A?
That's correct.
Lake Halley, Wisconsin?
Yep.
I would ask you where it is, except that I'm not even sure I know where Wisconsin is.
Yeah, why would you, really?
No, it's on one of those lakes up there, right?
Yes, it's a very small lake.
Right. Yeah.
It's mostly north, and the rest, who knows?
There's mostly north and west of here.
Yeah.
Okay, close enough. So what's up, Randa?
I have a 2002 Acura RSX.
Okay.
And the horn sounds at random. When this first started, it would happen oh, every several months, you'd turn the wheel hard, and the horn would go off.
Once, just a little beep.
Yeah, and now it's getting more frequent. And in the hot weather, it's getting even more frequent. So when my husband parked it at work all day in the sun and then drove it home, he said that the horn went off at every single corner until he turned on the air conditioner and pointed the vents at the steering column. And that seemed to help.
Oh, really?
But now, every time we drive the car, at least once, there's either a little beep or a longer beep.
Well, you could do what my brother did. He had a similar problem with his Fiat some years ago. So he ripped out the wiring for the horn and resorted to, hey, you, get out of the way.
And that is still working.
It is. The rest of the car isn't working, so he sits in the driveway and yells at people to get out of the way. No, you, it's interesting. So he aimed the vents at, so whatever was going on, whatever is going on, is caused by overheating. And I'm guessing that the horn pad, you know, the thing in the middle of the steering wheel that you press on?
Yeah.
Has probably gotten deformed over the years because the plastic is degraded or it's overheated. Maybe you're parked in the sun one time or one time too many, and the thing got deformed. And now when the temperature goes up to a certain point, it's deformed enough more so that it's like
blow the horn.
It's like you're pressing on the horn. Exactly.
Okay.
So you could take it someplace and have them take off the horn pad.
Uh-huh.
And see if, in fact, they're not going to see anything when they take it off. You can see if anything is loose. You know, there are metal contacts in there, and you can see if they're loose. And if they are, they may be able to be tightened, or you may be able to glue them. But my guess is you're going to have to replace the horn pad.
So then I probably can't blame this on my husband for having made the car beep every time he locked it?
Of course you can.
Also, you think he overworked the horn?
That's what I'm wondering. Did he overstimulate the horn? Because, you know, you don't have to make it honk when you lock it.
Right.
You can.
I find that annoying, actually. And you're announcing to everyone that you have an alarm.
Right. Like they couldn't guess that by looking at my car.
Right. And worse than that, you just pull. So why did he activate that, by the way?
I think because he could. It was the first time we ever had a car with a fob, and it would make the noise when he locked it, and he thought it was cool.
So even when you come home at 2 o'clock in the morning, and you don't, probably don't have any neighbors where you live.
Actually, we do live in a small suburban neighborhood.
Oh, you do?
How close is your closest neighbor?
Oh, it's probably 50 feet. 150 feet.
So your husband probably doesn't like them.
Well, it depends on which ones we're talking about.
Oh, okay. Well, in any case, no, I can't say I could blame your husband for this, although
okay.
If you come up with something creative, we'll post it on our website.
Okay.
But good luck. But have somebody pull that horn ring apart, and maybe they can figure it out.
Okay, great. Thank you very much.
See you around. Bye-bye.
Bye.
888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hey, guys, this is Rob Owen calling from Reno, Nevada.
Hey, Rob, what's going on?
Hey, I've got a 2003 Honda CR-V. It's actually my wife's car. It's got 72,000 miles on it about, and the clutch doesn't engage until it's almost all the way out.
Now, we've been doing this show for a very, very long time, and I've discovered that when a guy calls and says, it's my wife's car, it almost always means that he did something bad to it.
I don't think so in this case.
Well, it may be that she did something bad, but we'll try to get to the bottom of that.
Okay.
But usually it means that he did something that he wants to hide somehow. But go ahead. So it engages very high.
Yeah, exactly.
How high? Do you have to, like, jump in the back seat to...
Pretty close. And I really notice it because I go between my car and her car.
Yeah.
And my car's got 11,000 miles on it, and it engages smoothly kind of through the whole motion. And the thing is, and I'm constantly on her about it because she's nice enough to drive me home after I've had a couple beers. And she's always riding the clutch, and I ask her to please take her foot off, and it becomes kind of a bone of contention. She says, you know, if that's the case, why don't you just drive next time?
It's getting a little feisty, eh?
Yeah, things kind of go south after that.
And you say, I can't drive. I had too many beers.
Exactly. We always try to err on the side of safety. But the question is the riding the clutch, number one, causing this? And I've always heard riding the clutch is death to a clutch.
Well, explain to us what she's doing that you think is riding the clutch.
Like between first gear, she'll get going, leave her foot on the clutch, and then depress it and go into second gear.
Okay.
And then after that, sometimes her foot will just sort of rest on the clutch.
So she could be in third gear, for example, for a period of time, what, quarter of a mile?
Yeah.
Or something, with her foot resting on the pedal.
Exactly.
Is she a large woman?
No.
I had to ask. Because large people have large legs, and large legs are heavy. And, of course, this is a little car, and, you know, resting your large leg with its large foot on that small little pedal could depress the clutch to the point where it could be slipping. But I'm more concerned with how she engages the clutch from a dead stop.
Yeah.
You know, so that's
because
what,
something
that's what,
is definitely wrong, because 72,000 miles is way too low for this thing to be in this kind of shape.
Yeah, and it's not slipping or anything like that, but at the same time.
Oh, yes, it is.
Is it? Okay.
No, it might be. You just don't have enough. Well, you have some hills in Reno.
Oh, yeah. No, we got some big hills around here.
Yeah. So what you need to do is the clutch test.
Okay.
And this will, if it isn't slipping, it will be when you finish the test.
I know what this is. This is the tree test.
Well,
You got any trees there?
You got any trees on your property? It's preferable if you find some immovable object, like a large tree, something at least 18 inches in diameter, and nose the front bumper right up to this tree, okay? And then, no, I'm serious now. Pay attention.
This is serious.
That's step A. And with the clutch depressed, start the engine.
Okay.
You can set the handbrake for good measure, but it hardly matters.
Okay.
Because the tree is now the handbrake. Okay. Put the thing in fifth gear.
Okay.
Okay. And then let the clutch out at whatever pace you want and give it as much gas as you care to.
Okay.
If the clutch is fine and not slipping, boom, the thing will stall immediately.
Okay.
And if you do get it to continue running, when you've given it the gas, you can really prove that it's slipping by flooring the gas, and you'll notice that you'll get this smell, which smells like a coffee pot that's been left on the stove too long, and the handle starts to melt. You know that smell? Yeah, that's the clutch burning. Yeah. So
okay.
My guess is that she's maybe the culprit.
Oh, really?
Really.
And that brings me to my next question.
Should she drive your car?
Yeah, exactly. Could I fix the clutch in the CRV? I mean, I'm a reasonably handy guy.
Is this an all-wheel drive?
It is.
It's a little bit difficult. I mean, it requires getting the car up in the air.
Okay.
Okay, which ain't easy.
No, especially without a lift.
Rob, this is a great opportunity to buy an above-ground lift.
Ooh, I like it.
Right? I mean, the weather's pretty good in Reno. You could probably put the thing outside and maybe plant a couple of trees to disguise it from the neighbors.
Put it right next to the tree.
We could charge the neighborhood kids for rides.
Exactly. Oh, man, yeah.
What an opportunity this would be to buy, you know, for a couple of $1,000, you can buy an electric lift that runs on 110, so you won't even have to rewire the house. So it would be a lot easier with a lift, that's for sure.
Okay.
But without the lift, it would take you probably a weekend.
Without the lift?
Without the lift.
Okay.
He's saying, well, that's not bad.
Yeah, no, I've got projects like that still have yet to be done.
Yeah, so when you say you're reasonably handy.
Yeah, I'm a...
What have you done? I mean, have you changed the washer on a faucet?
Well, I've definitely done that. No, I rewired our whole house and done a bunch of remodel stuff, and then I've...
No, what have you done to the car?
Yeah, that's the problem. I used to work on my old Toyota, and it was fine, but beyond that, I haven't worked on anything remotely modern.
Oh.
Yeah, I mean, unfortunately, this car is a little bit too young to unleash you on it.
Yeah, I think you're probably right.
Yeah.
I gotta be honest with you, I'm a little worried about the tree test.
You're worried about the tree or the clutch?
I think I'm probably more worried about the wrath of my wife at that point.
Oh, you can't do this when she's around.
Oh, okay.
Are you crazy? Oh, no. You just have to make sure that she's out of town, like maybe visiting her mother or something.
Okay.
So wait for the appropriate weekend. Do the tree test.
Yeah.
When she comes home, you give her the bad news. But under any circumstances, don't let her drive your car.
Yeah, no, I agree with you for sure.
I mean, there's an off chance that it's you. We haven't seen you drive, but my guess is that from what you said, that she's the culprit.
Okay.
All right. Good luck, man.
Hey, thanks a lot.
Let us know how the tree makes out.
I will, for sure.
See you later.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Katie from Royal Oak, Michigan.
Hey, Katie. From Royal Oak, what's going on?
Well, I have a 94 Ford Escort that has actually served me really well. I haven't had any real major problems with it, and I actually bought it for $300 over 8 years ago.
Really?
But a few months ago, my fifth gear just stopped working. Like, I was on the expressway, and it was in fifth gear, and then it was just like it was in neutral. And I put it in fourth gear and drove 55 all the way home, and it was fine. And all the other gears have worked perfectly fine since then. That was a few months ago. But I've had to go out of town more and more, and I've had to borrow cars from friends and family, and I think it's getting a little bit annoying.
So why is it annoying to drive it in fourth?
Well, if I'm driving a long distance, I really can't. I mean, it's an old car, and if I get above 55, it just is shaking. And
yeah, the engine is running very fast. Yeah, if it's shaking, if the body is shaking or the steering wheel's shaking, that's got nothing to do with the fact that you're in fourth gear.
Okay.
There may be other things going. Maybe your wheels are ready to fall off.
You know.
So it may be time, Katie, for something to be done about this.
We've
been meaning to talk to you about this car.
You've had your eyes on it?
Yeah.
And sadly, I think your car doesn't qualify for the Cash for Clunkers program.
It does not, because I think it gets over. I believe you have to.
See, there ought to be an exception. In fact, we're going to call the president and see if we can get an exception just for you. Because there's going to be some exception for people that have a car that's such a hopeless piece of junk.
It's not hopeless, though.
No, as a matter of fact, at this point, you would get fewer than 18 miles a gallon because you can't get into fifth gear.
Yeah.
Yeah. So even though, you know, technically your car doesn't qualify, in spirit it certainly qualifies.
Yes.
But that's a moot point because you're not going to fix this.
Oh, I'm not.
No, because what happened that day that its fifth gear stopped working, you ground the last tooth off that gear. Yeah, it was running on one tooth. It probably sounded a little funny and probably growling a lot, but you didn't hear it because of all the other noises that this wonderful car makes. So all the other noises were drowning out the fact that the two gears that mesh for fifth were grinding themselves to oblivion.
Oh.
And if you were to take out the drain plug from this transmission, those teeth or the dust, the result of those grinding up of teeth, is probably at the bottom of the transmission.
So I can't really get the fix. I would just have to get a new car.
Well, you could buy a used transmission.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right?
You go to a junkyard and you find one and you put it in.
Just make sure that the magnets they have that rove the junkyards don't suck your car up. Because they may mistake it for one that's been left there.
So that would be worth it instead of buying a new car.
Well, I mean, you said you take frequent out-of-town trips.
I have this summer. I just have a lot of weddings and things like that that have taken me out of town and will take me out of town.
So are you otherwise gainfully employed?
I am gainfully employed.
Ah.
So you could buy a car, maybe.
I could buy a car, maybe. There are a lot of used cars in Detroit. There are some good deals. I've been thinking about it.
And you haven't bought a car to this point because...
I don't want a car payment.
Well, it would be nice if you could go to your mechanic and let him check out the car to see what kind of shape it's in.
Okay.
And whether or not it's worth fixing.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good piece of advice.
And if it is worth fixing, then you go to the junkyards.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And you should be prepared for lots of laughter.
I mean, right? Oh, yeah.
So has this car seen the inside of a repair shop in the last, say...
Yes, it has. I was in Chicago. Well, I used to live in Chicago, and I had to get my alternator changed, and they actually came out with a list of all the other things that were wrong with my car.
Do you still have that list?
No.
Oh, no.
Ah.
No, you threw it away immediately. Yeah, well,
because
I would say if you still had it, it ain't any shorter.
No, probably not. I probably have squeezed everything I can out of that $300.
So now you have a car that's 15 years old.
Yeah.
Going on 60, then you really have to think very carefully about what you want to do with this thing.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't have any side curtain airbags, doesn't have any ABS, doesn't have a lot of
right.
the things that even cheap cars have now.
Yeah.
You know, so you'd probably want to really consider whether or not you want to put any money into this thing. And my advice would be to dump it.
I think you're right.
Mm. And, of course, you have to ask your parents for a loan.
Why not?
Well, you don't want to make payments to a bank or any institution like that because they get really ticked off if you miss four or five payments. But your parents will understand.
Well, they'll be a little more understanding.
They'll be a little.
No interest.
They will.
No interest.
Good luck, Katie.
Thanks very much.
All right. But move on. It's time to move on, I think.
I think so, too.
See ya.
Bye.
Bye-bye. All right, look, it's time for us to take a short break.
How do you know when to do this stuff? I mean, do you have some kind of an internal alarm clock or something?
No, I just follow instructions. I just saw NPR's new president walk by our studio, And I overheard her saying, oh, give me a break.
All right. Well, when we come back, I'll have some of Murphy's corollaries.
I can hardly wait. And we'll have more of your car questions, too. So don't go away unless you just can't stand us anymore.
I'm sorry, Mr. Officer. I did not see the sign. I did not see those semis, and I missed the yellow line. I swear I've not been drinking, and there's nothing in my head. My problem is these fuzzy dice. I think they want me dead. My fuzzy dice, they're trying to kill me. Whenever I look up, they're in my way.
And even though mice raise their hands to volunteer for medical experiments whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR, National Public Radio. Ha! We're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Collect, the Tappert Brothers, and we're here to talk about cars, car repair, and the sons of Murphy.
Well, these are laws that Murphy may have come up with if he had had time. But I guess he only had time for one law.
Well, I think he wanted to keep it nice and simple, but go ahead, muck it up for him if
you want.
All
right, here we go. Listen to Patrick Rafferty sent us this list of corollaries to Murphy's Law. Here they are. Light travels faster than sound. This is why some people can appear bright until you hear them speak.
It's true.
Here's another one. The 50-50-90 rule. Anytime you have a 50-50 chance of getting something right, there's a 90% probability that you're going to get it wrong.
I think Yogi Berra was involved in that one, too.
Yeah,
I'm not
he was.
Sure.
Give a man a fish, and he will eat for a day.
Uh-huh.
Teach a man to fish, and he will sit in a boat all day drinking beer. I love it. The shin bone is a device for finding furniture in a dark room. And when you go into court, you are putting yourself in the hands of 12 people who weren't smart enough to get out of jury duty.
Well, look, I should remind those of you expecting a puzzler that the puzzler is on summer vacation.
Yeah, we sit here and work our little fingers to the bone doing this show. And where's the puzzler? Living it up somewhere like Wayne Newton. Who made this deal?
You did!
Oh, I did?
So if you'd like a puzzler to play with, every week during the summer, we're posting one of our favorite pre-owned puzzlers on our website for you.
That's cartalk.com.
That's right. Now, if you have a question about your car, we invite you to call us at 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, guys. This is Tina from Lincoln, Vermont.
Hey, Tina.
Hi,
what's
Tina.
Going on?
Where is Lincoln,
Lincoln,
Vermont?
Lincoln is in the heart of the Green Mountains at the foot of Mount Abraham, and it's about 40 miles southeast of Burlington and 20 miles northeast of Middlebury.
Oh, Abraham Lincoln. I got it.
Yeah, except that they weren't named for him, but that's okay.
That's all right.
So what's going on, Tina?
Well, I have a 98 Honda Civic, which incidentally averages 40 miles to the gallon.
Yeah, not bad, huh?
Yeah, it's wonderful. I love it. I looked at the exhaust pipe one day and saw something sticking out of it, and I pulled on it and pulled on it and pulled on it, and eventually had about 4 feet of a hair-like substance in my hand.
Yeah.
Like you know something about it.
Tina, you have discovered one of the secrets of the ages. These exhaust systems that Hondas use are the source of all the hair pieces that are used by Hair Club for Men. So if you're a client of Hair Club for Men,
you're all set.
They give you a Honda.
Well, I thought it looked really good for a Halloween costume as a witch.
It's pretty good looking. It's pretty good looking hair, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, from a distance, you could fool them. That's what they told me when they tried to sell me the product.
So, is it dangerous that I'm driving around and I haven't done anything? What is it, and do I need to stop driving or get my car fixed instantly?
Oh, you need to get at least a haircut.
None of the above.
It's the sound deadening that they use in the muffler. So, eventually, the muffler will get louder.
As a matter of fact, I've pulled hair out of the tailpipe 3 times.
Ah.
And it still doesn't seem very much louder to me, and it passed an emissions test. So
it would pass the emissions test, and it might not be all that much louder because the baffles are probably still intact, but I bet you the core of it is hotter. You know, so that may be in keeping the heat inside and making more of the heat come out the tailpipe. So it might not be so much for deadening the sound as it is for deadening the transfer of heat from inside the muffler to the outer core or shell of the muffler, so that the contents of your trunk don't melt.
Oh, okay. Do you think that the trunk will ever start on fire? Or my other concern was, would this ever block the exhaust completely and cause the, go back up to the engine?
We've never seen that.
No.
We've never seen
good.
That, but we're curious to see if that could happen, so you have to keep just driving it like this.
And let us know when it happens.
Because this is now a scientific pursuit. We don't know when it's going to end either. I'm just curious to know, how much of this stuff do you think you've removed? How many feet of hair?
Probably about 12 feet.
So is there any more sticking out?
Not currently, but when I was pulling out the last time, I could tell that it was breaking off inside.
Also, yeah. It might be time for a Brazilian wax.
Or a shave.
Yeah.
So it's not particularly dangerous then? Is that what you're
saying?
Well,
I don't think it's particularly dangerous, but I do think that it may raise the outside temperature of the muffler.
Okay.
And if that's the case, it might be dangerous, especially on a long trip when the muffler is going to get hotter and hotter and stay hot for a very long period of time. And it might present the danger to whatever is in the trunk.
All right. Well, I won't put my husband in there.
No.
Not anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah. And if the trunk is, has a carpet of some kind, because most trunks have some material in there, some finished material, that could catch fire, I suppose. But I don't think there's any way to really measure, because you don't have any baseline number, to measure the temperature, the outside temperature of the muffler. But
it would be nice if you could go into a Honda dealer and ask them, how much can I take out before things blow up?
And considering the thing's 11 years old and it's probably the original muffler, it might be time for a new one.
Well, I did change the muffler at some point, but it's a long time ago now, I'm sure.
Well, it may be lifetime warranty.
Good point.
It may be. I wouldn't be surprised. I have a recollection that this muffler, if you bought it from Honda, which you did.
I'm not sure of that.
Yeah, I think they're the only ones with the hair.
Oh.
Yeah. I think Honda mufflers are the only ones with the hair. So if you bought it from Honda, it may be warranted for forever.
Excellent. And what is the hair, actually? Is it fiberglass?
It's probably some kind of, fiberglass-like material.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd like to think it was real human hair, but I guess not. Anyway, let us know how you make out. We're dying to know.
Well, thank you so much for your advice.
See you, Tina. Take
care.
Bye-bye. 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. And I have the feeling she's not going to change the muffler.
She's not, no.
No.
Why?
She's going to wait
bother?
Till her husband catches fire. She's going to put him in the trunk. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hey, my name is Jesse Triplett, and I'm from North Carolina.
Hey, hi. Jesse, what's going on?
Not much. My roommate and I got a 240 SXSE 1996, really fun car to drive, but all of a sudden it stopped starting one day. And we replaced the starter, but then it turned out that wasn't it. And in the end, it was a bad relay. And what we had did was we took it to my brother, who's an auto mechanic, who jumped the relay and installed the doorbell. So now you turn the key, you push the doorbell, and the car starts. And that worked for a couple of months, but then all of a sudden that stopped working.
He installed a doorbell button.
Yeah, a doorbell button.
So you didn't hear Westminster Abbey chime when you tried to start the car.
No, it doesn't chime the hour every time you start.
Ah, okay.
But you turn the key, and you push the doorbell, and then it doesn't start. But if you keep trying to turn the key while you're holding the doorbell, it will eventually turn over and starts.
So it starts.
So the doorbell button is still working.
Right.
And where, pray tell, is it? He mounted this right on the dashboard?
Just with a screw, through the plastic.
I love it.
It's good.
Let's get this right. When you turn the key,
nothing happens.
No sound whatsoever? Oh. No.
There's a click and a bzzz that has always been there, and all the electronics turn on, but nothing actually happens with the engine until you push the doorbell.
Yeah.
Right. But now when you push I understand that. So that first sound you get is probably the fuel pump relay kicking in.
Okay.
And then the other thing is you're illuminating the dashboard. And now when you press the doorbell button, what happens now that it's not working right?
Nothing.
And when it finally does start, you said it cranks slowly.
Well, no, it cranks perfectly fine. And the car runs beautifully. The only problem with it is this one electrical thing.
Gee, well, it's not bad. It's only this one thing. Well,
Well, that and the window doesn't work and the AC doesn't work.
No, we don't want to know all that other stuff because that's just going to cloud. It's going to cloud the issue. I mean, it could easily be, and I imagine this guy who put the doorbell button in would have tested the battery, but maybe not.
Well, we tested the battery, and that went bad about 6 months later, and we replaced that. Still doing it.
Okay.
So it's the button.
Geez, it could be. It could be. I mean, mm-hmm. those buttons are not designed to take the load. You know, I mean, they do operate on probably 20 volts or something like that, those doorbell buzzers. But I would take the two wires that go to the button and just take the button off, take the back the two screws out, and take the two wires and touch them together.
And see if that works?
Yeah.
Okay, and if you do that and it starts right up, then it's the button that's no good.
Okay. How bad would it be if it's the wiring harness?
Oh, you don't know that.
It'd be better to sell the car, I bet, then?
Yeah. No, you might want to give it two in the hat. No, it could be a bad ground, too. And I would certainly wouldn't want to rule that out at this point. But I would do the simplest test first. And the simplest test is to test a thing that was never designed to work in a car. And that is that is the doorbell button. So I would take that out of the circuit and just jump it. And if, in fact, it starts perfectly, then voila, you've solved the problem. If it doesn't, then I would run a new wire using a jumper cable, you know, a jumper like you jump your car with, run it from the negative of the battery right to the engine block.
Okay.
But I'm pretty sure Tommy's right. I think it's the button. So you might have to go for a heavy-duty button. You might have to use one they use on ships or something. So look around. And there are switches, by the way. There are toggle switches that you could buy that are, in fact, better suited for this kind of a load.
Would I get one of them from an auto store or something?
You could, or you could get one at, like, Radio Shack or someplace like that, or an electronics store.
Or just make sure it's a high capacity.
Or maybe your local Navy shipyard. Good luck, Jesse.
All right, thanks.
Thanks for your call. Bye-bye.
Bye.
888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Kirsten. I'm calling from Corte Madera in California.
Kirsten, how are you?
I'm well, thank you. We spoke several years ago. I don't know if you remember me. Several years ago, I called you, and I was Kirsten from Kosovo. I was heading out for a foreign... You do?
I do? Wow. Because the alliteration, you know.
Kirsten from Kosovo. I was heading out then for a foreign service post, and I was putting my 1986 Honda CRX into storage, and I had questions for you then about storing a car in government storage.
I vaguely remember this.
I'm guessing it didn't work out too well.
No, that 86 Honda CRX is still running, and it's in my driveway, and I'm about to donate it to my public radio station.
Great.
And the reason for my call today is I'm heading out on another foreign service post to Georgia, the country.
Really?
Oh, not the state.
Not the state, the country. In about 3 weeks, and I'm now driving a 2003 CRV. And my question for you is, what kind of spare parts should I bring with me that will keep me covered for the next about 2 years?
Well, one of the things absolutely you should bring is, we've had many calls about this over the last year or two, is the oil that goes into the rear differential.
Okay.
Okay, because when that oil breaks down, the thing makes ugly noises. When you make sharp turns, like in a parking lot, you'll get this sick dog kind of howling noise.
Okay.
You may have driven over a sick dog, but if you haven't, then it's coming from the rear diff.
Okay, so there's a special kind of oil that goes into the rear differential.
Exactly, and you can't just put anything in there. You must use the Honda stuff.
Okay, that's good to know.
And other than that, what else?
I was thinking, like, you know, windshield wipers wear out eventually, oil filters, like Honda oil filters, whatever you don't want.
How many miles are you expecting to drive this thing while you're there?
Well, I'll be commuting from my house to my job at the embassy. And probably, you know, 10,000 miles a year, 12,000 miles a year, just like here.
Do they drive on the right-hand side of the street like we do?
It's the same right-hand.
Or is it optional?
Well, I mean, everybody's telling me to expect at least two fender benders while I'm there and just get my head around.
Well, there you go. You might want to bring some fenders along.
Well, most of the things might be available there.
I don't know. I mean, people can mail me things, but they certainly can't mail liquids. So, I didn't know if I needed, like, good old American oil. Of course, the Caspian Sea is right there.
You can get it right from the wellhead.
Sure.
Yeah. So, I wouldn't worry about oil. I think you'll be able to get oil.
But definitely differential oil.
And you may in fact want to switch to synthetic oil because, you know, you can probably get 10,000 miles out of an oil change.
Okay.
So you could do that. I would definitely bring a couple of quarts of this pump oil for the rear differential.
Okay.
And what else would I bring? I mean, you can, things like wiper blades and whatever are important.
Yeah.
And how many miles are on this?
56,000 miles now.
56,000. Well, you might need a timing belt.
What about, I was thinking, I'm just off the top of my head, like headlights. I mean, headlights eventually burn out.
Headlights people can send you. You might want to, you know, maybe four tires. Maybe you can send them like a companion car. Maybe you can buy another one of these that you can just strip parts off of as you need them.
I'm sure I can buy a cheap stolen one down there.
Do you have any friends who are now there in Georgia?
I have some former colleagues, yeah, who are still there.
Well, can you ask them what kinds of cars are around and if anyone has one like yours?
You mean genuinely to steal the parts?
I wasn't thinking of that. I think it's just you may find a repair shop that has a parts outlet, so to speak.
Oh, I see, a repair shop.
Yeah.
So if you have friends there, you can ask them how they like the service at the Honda of Tbilisi. But you, before you go, obviously, you should have the car checked out. For example, I wouldn't take brake pads and rotors and whatnot, but if you need them, now's the time to do them before you ship out, so to speak.
Okay.
So you got your differential oil, you got some wiper blades. You might want to throw one headlight bulb.
Okay.
In there. I mean, they're small. You can throw that in the glove compartment.
Okay.
Yeah, but I'd be willing to bet that. I mean, this car is very popular.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be the least bit surprised if you find somebody there that can fix these cars and get parts.
Okay.
And if you can't, then you're up the creek. So good luck, Kirsten.
Thanks so much. Thanks, guys.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All the best.
Well, it's happened again. You've wasted another perfectly good hour listening to Car Talk.
You ain't kidding.
Oh, you did too. Our esteemed producer is Doug the Subway Fugitive, not a slave to fashion, Bongo Boy Berman. Our associate producers are Louis Cronin, the Barbarian, and David the Calves of Belleville Green. Our senior web lackey is Doug the Old Gray Mare. Our engineer is John Cartman Parati. Our production assistant is Aaron Wax. And our technical, spiritual, and menu advisor, just back from the Jersey Shore, Soup du Jour, Shrimp Tandoor, Albacore, Hot S'more, Petit Four, Sweets Galore, Endless Pour, Omnivore, Free Lunch Tour, is John Bugsy Lawler. Our public opinion pollster is Paul Murky of Murky Research, assisted by statistician Margin of Error. Our customer care representative is Heywood Jabuzoff. The director of our Alpine Choir is Leo Leahy. Our downsizing consultant is Candace Guy. Tommy's personal psychiatrist is Manny Luz Cruz. The head of our Working Mother Support Group is Erasmus B. Dragon. Our chief counsel from the law firm of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe is Hugh Lewis Dewey, known to the sidewalk bicycle races in Harvard Square as Huey Louie Dewey. Thanks so much for listening. We're Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers. Don't drive like my brother, please.
And don't drive like my brother, please.
We'll be back next week. Bye-bye. You can get a podcast of this show, which is number 933, dig through the Car Talk archives, or check out our clothing and CD collections all over at cartalk.com. Or if you prefer, you can call the Shameless Commerce Division for Car Talk gifts at 888-CAR-JUNK.
Also this week at cartalk.com, what do we have for the contestants, Johnny? Really? What else? You don't say. Oh, the Car Noise Emporium.
There you go. Listen to the noises. See if you can diagnose the problem.
Well, based on the noises you made, my diagnosis is you're nuts.
Check out the Car Noise Emporium.
On the homepage all this week at cartalk.com.
Car Talk is a production of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe and WBUR in Boston.
And even though Henry Louis Gates says someone needs to go to their house and arrest those guys whenever he hears us say it, this is NPR National Public Radio.